to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. Welcome to Logos Rhema Hour with God's servant, Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. And now, to today's message.
Let's take our confession, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
Daddy, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise that we have come before you. We worship. We honor you, Lord. Bring your adoration and thanksgiving for who you are. There is absolutely none, like none can be compared. You rule, O God, over all the earth. All the earth, Lord. Because you are God alone and there is none like you. None can be compared. We thank you for this wonderful privilege. And this evening, our cry, our prayer, let thy kingdom come. Let thy rule, O Christ, begin, O God. Let thy kingdom come, O God. Let it come, my God. Let it come in the name of Jesus. And let all men and women and all the earth know that indeed, there is none like you. We thank you. We bless you. Give you praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why don't you say a big amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And you are only amen. And I trust in God that we can complete our prayer series. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Amen. And throughout this month, we have been learning how to pray and to pray excellently. And we are trusting God that this evening He will also be with us. He will open our eyes. He will open our understanding so that we can behold wondrous truths in His law. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And summary so far, where are we? We have learned. And we are in Luke chapter 11. Yes, we read verses 1 to 4, and that is where we have been taking our exhortation from, and we have learned that prayer is a must, amen, for every believer. We have said that you must have a prayer life as a believer, amen. And we said that you are mandated, obliged to develop, cultivate, and to build one. Amen. We said that our journey towards excellence in prayer will not take off until we appropriately have a commensurate or a parallel word life. Amen. Because prayer, truthfully, must be hinged or grow or springs out of a bedrock of a consistent word life. Amen. You must know the word. Hallelujah. And we said that that's why you must go to every extent and cultivate a devotional or quiet life as a believer. Amen. It is crucial as a believer to have a quiet time. Quiet time is not for secondary school people. Even though maybe most of us started or learned the ABCs of a quiet time whilst we were in the SU, probably in the secondary school. Many of us have. But that once we graduate from the secondary school, then we can abandon the quiet time. Amen. I'm afraid if you abandon or you have abandoned your quiet time or your devotional life without a consistent devotional life, you would not be able to grow. Amen. As a believer. Amen. And the quiet time is crucial to this enterprise, both knowing your word and being able to develop a consistent prayer life. That's why we said it's the bedrock and the true foundation of any meaningful and consistent life of prayer. And then we have also said that prayer is a learned and acquired discipline. It is not inherited. It is not automatic that when you get born again, you become adept and skillful in the discipline of prayer. No. Amen. You have to cultivate it. Amen. You have to learn the basics, the rules, and you must be at it. Amen. One day at a time. Hallelujah. Often repeated. Amen. And then it becomes a habit. Hallelujah. And then as you continue, it becomes ingrained into your nature. So that prayer becomes secondary to your nature as a believer. As we have said, a believer can be likened to someone who is on life support. And that life support is God Almighty, who saves, not only saves us, but also seals us with His Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit being sealed within us, you are not a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that is the first thing that He does for us. Immediately you get sincerely born again, in order to authenticate you and to validate you and I as authentic children of God, He seals us with His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is what marks us out as believers. Amen. And more or less, if you do without the Holy Spirit, your Christian life will literally be snuffed out. Amen. If you ignore the Holy Spirit by repeated habits of sin and disobedience, you just literally quench the Holy Spirit's life in you. And without the life of the Holy Spirit within you, you can't, you won't be able to grow. Amen. You won't be able to flourish. You won't be able to mature, and you won't be able to have proofs, infallible proofs in your Christian life. And then you will throw in the towel and say that it doesn't work, but it works. Hallelujah. And lots of people have thrown in their towels and are saying this Christian life doesn't work. It works. Hallelujah. There's nothing faulty about the word of God. Let every man be a liar, but God be true. God is true to His word. If there is any fault, if there is any reason why your Christian life has not seemingly worked, the fault cannot be traced back to God, but to you. Hallelujah. There's something that you need to do and to continue to do that you are not doing. And I'm saying one of the key things is your prayer and devotional life. They go hand in hand. Your word life, your prayer life, your worship life, your praise life, your fellowship, it's all parts of the devotional life. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is all learned and acquired. It is not inherited. Hallelujah. And Jesus taught it. And that is why He's been teaching us. And that's why this month we have said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we've been learning from Jesus' example or His format that He gave us or outline that He gave us how to learn or to be good prayers or to be excellent prayers. Hallelujah. And we went on and said, we went on after saying that we went on to try to find out some of the things that the ingredients. He said we should pray that we should come to God as our Father. Hallelujah. And we said you must have a covenant relationship with Jesus in order to be qualified or be given the right to address God as a Father in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. All who believe in Him He gave them power to become children of God. It is that which seals us, and that is what enables us when we stand before God in the place of prayer, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit who just activates, hallelujah, our spirit. He just links up with our spirit and activates himself, stirs up himself, gives us utterance, so that when we stand before God, we can cry out, Abba, Father, I am here once again to bring you not just praise and worship, but also to petition you concerning certain legitimate needs in my life. You can be sure you will have a hearing. Hallelujah. Because God will recognize that all the heavens indeed will hear that the Son of God, a co-heir to the throne of God, has come. And we need to be all ears for him and to listen to him. Hallelujah. So born again persons, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, he gives us the voice in prayer, hallelujah, so that we can be able to cry, our Father, amen. And we say we should also remember God dwells in heaven. That's why we pray, our Father who art in heaven. And that's where the throne room of God is, amen, hallelujah. And as we recall that phrase, heaven, it tells us a lot of things. God, our Father in heaven, transcends above everything. Hallelujah. And last Sunday we learned that when we come before him also, he says you should remember to hallow his name. Hallelujah. And we learned, amongst other things, that it is a call for worship. Amen. It's a call for remembrance. This great deliverance that he has purchased for us, this redemption price that he has paid for our souls so that we can be redeemed. Amen. Like Israel of old being redeemed from Egyptian bondage. That is what God has done for us. He has paid the price for our redemption. And so when we stand before God and we hallow his name, it is all in remembrance of the great sacrifice, the great price that he paid on Calvary's cross for us. Hallelujah. So we can have this standing before him. Amen. We can have this relationship of Father-Son before him. We can cry out and know that we will be heard. Hallelujah. That is the confidence that we have in prayer. When you have all the ABCs, when you have all the roots, you know, when you have all the foundation stones well laid, you are able to come boldly into his presence and be able to ask for help in times of need, any time of need. And it makes you a confident prayer. It makes you an excellent prayer. It makes your prayers efficient and effective. Hallelujah. So long as you make sure that the foundation stones are right. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we said that when we stand before him, we say, hallowed be thy name. And tonight we were going on. He says, and thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Amen. And once again, we'll be looking at the scriptures and try to get a sense so that once again, when we it will not be reduced to a reciter or poetry reciter. It is more than that. Amen. When we come before him and Jesus said, pray. And you've still been praying it since kindergarten. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And that is all. Some of us, it's been a recitation. Hallelujah. But we are saying that it is more than a recitation. Jesus gave it, if you like, more or less like an outline. Hallelujah. Yes, you can pray it, but make sure that there's spirit back in it. Amen. There's spirit back in it. Hallelujah. And not a dull recital. Hallelujah. So that your spirit will cry out there. And it will ring and pierce through the heavens. Oh my God. And let all the heavens be attentive to the cry. Because it is genuine, it is sincere. It is actuated by the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. He says even when we come to the place of prayer, Romans 8:26, we don't know how to pray, what to pray for. But because we have a standing relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit of God, his Holy Spirit that he has given him up, to help us in all our endeavors and in all our work. He says that That Holy Spirit is able by sighings and groanings enable us to cry out, Abba, Father, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you don't know what you are going to eat and you are crying out, give us this day, my God, our daily bread. And when you sin, you are able to cry and forgive me my trespass as we forgive those who trespass against us. Leading us not into temptation, but deliver us, my God, from evil. All the snares and traps of the evil one, let, oh God, let it be, oh God, broken in the mighty name of Jesus. You are praying, then you are praying. It's not a recitation. Your spirit is reaching out and is touching the throne room of God. And then God begins to mobilize and to marshal the angels, the ministers who are given to minister grace needs to us. Hallelujah. And by the time that you come to the end of your prayer and you say, Amen, let it be so, you know you have prayed. You know you have prayed. Nobody will tell you. And when you are praying and you are not making any headway, and then it is hitting the brass gates on the roof of your head also, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. So to begin with, we are talking about let thy kingdom come. And we are saying that a kingdom, immediately you talk about a kingdom, it brings to mind, it connotes landmass, a terrain or a domain with a clearly, and this is important. Amen. Hallelujah. With a clearly identified owner. When we're talking about a kingdom, we are talking not just about a territory or a domain, but a clearly identified owner who reigns supreme over that territory. Then we are talking about a kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. The monarch of that territory. He is the king. Amen. And God describes himself as the king. The king of the entire universe. The entire landmass. We have the Ashanti king who reigns supreme over the Ashanti kingdom. And his word is law. His word carries authority. And his subjects or citizens. Amen. They rally around his word. He has all the enforcers, law enforcement agents of his word. Hallelujah. Just like our president said, lockdown. And we were locked down. Hallelujah. And he brought out the enforcers, the police, and the soldiers, and the army to make sure that his word was obeyed. Amen. So when we say kingdom, we are praying. God, Jesus said, when you pray in the place of prayer, you should pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Amen. So it is not just a recitation. It is a true kingdom. Amen. It's a true, if you like, mass. If you like, landmass. It's a true territory. It's a true domain. Amen. And it has an owner. And that owner is God Almighty. The one who has consented to bring you and I to a son-father relationship that we call our Father, Abba Father. He is the one, the monarch who reigns over this domain. Hallelujah. And all the subjects or occupants of this last mass or territory subject themselves to his rule and authority. Amen. Whilst they stay or occupy that territory. Once again, I always say it. When you and I say we are believers and we are citizens or children of the kingdom, how submissive are we to his word? How submissive are we to his authority? Amen. Because that is why you see, you will be frustrated in the place of prayer when you are not able to taste of the kingdom's power. But there is power in the kingdom. There is authority in the kingdom. Amen. We operate, if you like, by delegated authority as sons and children of his co-heirs with him. And so when we speak, as he bids us speak. And we don't speak on our own authority. As he bids us speak, we speak. And the power and authority is enforced. Like Elijah comes on the scene. And he says, there will be no rain until by my word. But God, we know God had commanded him to appear to him. And then tell Ahab and his cohort that there will be no rain until my word. Amen. And so Elijah proclaimed that word, but it was God's word, the supreme monarch, the one who holds the reins. And he said, there will be no rain. I'm going to withhold the rains until at my word again, then the rains will come. And for 3.5 years, until God summoned Elijah and said, can you now reappear and announce once again to Ahab that I'm going to send forth rain? And he did it. And James was commenting on it, and he says that, my God, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. But then he was a man like us. But he was a man that has submitted himself to the word and the authority of the kingdom. And therefore, when he spoke, as God bids him, all the enforcers of heaven had to enforce that word, because it was just like God's word. And so it wasn't Elijah withholding the rain, but it was because God said it. Amen. That's what makes prayer effective. You come under authority, you submit yourself to the authority of the word of God. Oh my God. Then the heavens are open to you. You begin to declare as you hear, as God speaks, and heaven will back you. You can't come on somebody's terrain and domain and begin to declare things that he has not commanded. No. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Amen. So the occupants of this landmass or territory, they have subjected themselves to his rule and authority whilst they stay or occupy that territory. Hallelujah. And that is why, in a sense, he becomes their benefactor. That is why God is our benefactor. Amen. Because we have subjected ourselves to his rule and authority. Amen. And anytime he gives us a command and we proclaim and we say, oh, we may not like maybe Moses of old come and say, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. But praise God, if you can make it that, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Maybe sometimes we lack the confidence to say it, or sometimes we say that maybe we will be bullying people. So, but look, if you have subjected yourself to him and you are playing according to the rules, he literally lateralizes immense power and authority to you, so that when you make declarations, they will come to pass, not from your whims, not from your own, but as he, the owner, the sovereign ruler, the sovereign king of the entire domain, urges you or instructs you. That is what makes a prayer effective. We hear, and so we speak. Hallelujah. We speak as we hear. Like Jesus said, we do as we see the Father do, as he commands us. Amen. So the Bible recognizes God as the King of the entire universe. Psalm 24, verse 1. As usual, I always want us to anchor ourselves in our faith, not in just words, but in the scriptures, the authority and power of the scriptures. That's why we read some of these. So in Psalm 24, verse 1, hear him, the earth is who? The Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and them that dwell in. Them that dwell therein, the earth, not just the elements, the sun, the moon, the stars, the forests, the great mountains, the rivers and the oceans, and all that. Not just them, but the men and the women, all the proud men and the women, yes. All the recalcitrant men and women, all the idol worshippers, all the atheists, and all the people, if you like, the Buddhists, and all people of all denominations, and he says they are his. Amen. So when we are talking about God's kingdom, it just encompasses everything that you can think about. And the Bible has made that bold proclamation. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness, anything that is therein. Hallelujah. And just in case that you forget, it says, them that dwell therein, proud man is included. They are all mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my God. That should just reassure you. If somebody is the one who is tormenting you as a citizen, and he's not there, no. Then you know where to take that person. Hallelujah. Amen. So that you are not scared of men. You are not intimidated by proud men. Hallelujah. Oh yes, if God says submit, we submit. And it is all part of his instructions. Hallelujah. But somebody just frightening you for nothing, you take him to God. Hallelujah. Amen. For he has founded it. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And one of my favorites, Colossians 1:16. He says that what? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth. Listen to this. Visible and invisible. Underline that verse in your Bible, if it's your own Bible and you've never underlined it. Hallelujah. And if it's electronic, you can highlight it. Amen. And highlight it again and again. And let that truth, that scripture, sink into you. Hallelujah. Those of us who are afraid of witches and winchiches. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Ramata Sabai. Hallelujah. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is what qualifies him as the undisputed king of the entire universe. When the people were saying that he has blasphemed by claiming that he is a king before Pilate, Pilate was shocked. And he said, are you a king? He said, yes. You have said it. And for this purpose, I was born. And I came so that I would reveal the truth. This world has been enshrouded in lies that people are claiming other gods and entities are claiming themselves to be kings of territories. My domain? No. So he came to reveal the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The sole king of all the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what has happened? If God is God still recognized as the king of the universe, who are his subjects? And why should we pray that let thy kingdom come? And that is part of the story of the Bible, if not the entire story. Hallelujah. It is part of the great theme of the Bible and the plot to reestablish kingship and ownership. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you like to expand and enforce his kingdom until his kingdom has subdued all other pretentious kingdoms and domains and empires, both the seen and unseen. Amen. And that is why he wants us to pray that when we stand before him, because he recognizes us as part of his kingdom, he says co-heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs of God. And God wants to see all the kingdoms and the nations subsumed under the authority and kingship of his one authentic kingdom. The Christian kingdom, if you like. Let thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Amen.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service, also at 6 p.m. Remember that all our services are streamed online at Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on our Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also listen to us at any time on our online radio station, Radio HCI Today, accessible via the Radio King and Zeno apps. You can download these apps on the Google Play Store and Apple Store.